get the meeting started. Call this meeting of the Chino Basin Water Master Appropriate Pool to order. Are there any additions or reorder to the agenda?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And we'll move on to consent calendar. Is there any item on the agenda, on the consent calendar that anyone will pull for discussion? If not, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
A motion?
Second.
And a second. Anyone opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, then we'll move on to two business items. A is the Chino Basin Water Master 2013-14 assessment package.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the appropriative pool. We have for you a presentation on the assessment package. Ms. Danny Mauricio will give the presentation. We had a workshop on this a few days ago. We had some constructive comments and some minor changes that will be discussed. And with that, I'll turn it over to Danny.
Good morning. Okay, so this PowerPoint is, for those of you that attended the workshop, this is basically a review of what was at the workshop, but I'm going to go over it for those who weren't there. This is this assessment package is for the current fiscal year, so it's the assessment year of 13-14 because it's based on the budget for this year, but it's based on last year's production, the 12-13 production. Just as some background, the assessment package is what creates the funds that are used this fiscal year for budgeted expenses based on the budget that's already approved and amended. Assessments are based on the approved amended budget and also the total accessible water produced from the basin. So it's just budget dollars divided by acre feet, budget divided by production. Anytime in the assessment package that you see two numbers after the decimal, that refers to a dollar number. And anytime if you see three numbers after the decimal, that refers to an acre foot number. In terms of the process, it's based on the fiscal year, the production is based on fiscal year July 1st, 2012 through June 30th, 2013. We generally collect the production information quarterly, with the exception of min users, and other information is collected annually. Water activity reports were issued back in August, and that's for the purpose of each pumper verifying their production, their water transfers, dryer yield numbers, line use conversion, recycled recharge water. All those numbers are on the water activity reports, and everybody was asked to review them, sign them, and return them, and we made any necessary corrections along the way. We presented the draft assessment package at the workshop a couple weeks ago, and there were a few corrections that were made since then based on the conversation that was had at the workshop. There's also one additional correction that just came about in the last couple days. There's a sheet in the back. Hopefully you all grabbed it on the way in. It's page 1A. It has a corrected number on it, and I'll get into that in a little more detail in a few more slides. And that's since the package was put out. So we're going through all the pool process today for approval, hopefully, and then it'll go next week to advisory and board for approval. And then if it gets approved at the board meeting next week, which remember is next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, if it's approved next week, then invoices will be mailed in late November, or just shortly after the board meeting, and excess reserve credits will also be included on those invoices. In terms of the kind of specifics, there's no change to safe yield or, operating safe yield in this assessment package. We've had a couple workshops on the issue, but it's far from resolved. So just so you know, we haven't changed any of those numbers in this package. And just as a reminder, if you'll recall last year, in terms of the carryover accounts, previous to last year, we had assessed a 2% loss on that carryover water. And then it was later determined that carryover is not technically storage, so shouldn't have losses. So we gave all those losses back last year. And so we're continuing with zero losses on carryover. Local storage, supplemental storage, excess carryover, that continues to have the losses. And also just as a reminder, stormwater new yield is shown a 0 acre feet in here, just as it has been for the last few years. This is the fifth year where it's zero credit. We had 5 years where we gave 12,000, and it was determined that that was too much, and that was really way too much, about double too much. So now we're doing zero for 5 years to kind of true it up. And then per the condition subsequent seven procedure, after the production year 12-13, so the one that we just closed, the credit will be recalculated based on the historical information, the historical stormwater information, and then every 5 years thereafter. And again, just as a reminder, I think you all know, but the dryer yield account has a balance of zero. It's been zero for a couple years now. Included within the assessment package are the settlement terms between Aqua Capital and CSI that was resolved a few months ago. And then included as an appendix, so on the very end of the assessment package, the desalter replenishment obligation table has been updated. You saw it at the Safe Yield Workshop number one, and I had reformatted it a little bit to include all the different categories in that hierarchy of what can be used to offset desalter replenishment, although a lot of them are zeros, but they're there because they can count if there's any water in them. So there's no desalter replenishment obligation this year, so that's important to note. And then also to note is that the Saruni, which is the Santa Ana River underflow new yield, for right now in that table, it's all zeroed out. It's all shown as zeros. There's that, the discussion for that is wrapped into the safe yield recalculation discussion. And until we get that all resolved, until we know, you know, what those numbers are, we decided to just zero it for now rather than produce some numbers that were, you know, probably going to change or potentially going to change. So they're all zeros for now.
Is that footnoted? So that...
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we feel we're accomplishing some underflow some fashion. It's just not specifically quantified. So is it footnoted that, you know, to be... exact quantity to TBD or something like that would be helpful.
Right. So here's the table that's shown as the appendix, and this is what this was in the package that went out, or in, you know, this was on the FTP site available for download. So what you see is that footnote number four, and if I can read it from here, it says the Santa Ana River. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. And that column is like super highlighted, so you
it.
Can yeah.
yeah.
So you won't miss it. So it's all zero. So once that is populated with some numbers, you know, that'll give you some water to use for future years. Because if that was all left at zero, we only have 1,200 acre feet before the obligation hits. So that would be like, you know, right away next year. But once that column is populated, it'll push that back a little bit. Okay, so in terms of all the financial aspects, it worked out that the administration... the admin assessments are $9.76 per acre foot, and for OBMP it's $30.63 per acre foot. So when you add those up, it's $40.39. Included within that is the budget amendment that was passed in October for $62,000, and that was for the Wineville Proof of Concept project. In terms of replenishment, there's a new current obligation of 734 acre feet. And the replenishment rate that we used in the assessment package is $608 per acre foot. Last year, just for reference, last year was $607. MWD held their rate steady for another year, and it's gone up just by $1 per acre foot because IUA increased its surcharge. And we still have a CURO of 1,097 acre feet that we're looking to fulfill soon. And actually, because we had collected money on that CURO last year, we keep track of how much interest is earned. We treat it as they have like accounts with us, and so they're earning interest on that. So we keep track of what interest was earned on all that water we're holding for them until we recharge. And because the Met rate didn't go up or anything, which we knew it wasn't going to, they actually, because of the interest earned, they actually have a little bit of credit coming back to them. So it's a whole $330 for the appropriators and $12 for the non-ag. But because the 85-15 rule rolls into that too, when you look at it in the assessment package, you'll see that a lot of appropriators get a little piece of that $330. You know, it's like 10 cents for some appropriators.
What's the reason why we have the CURO?
We've just been looking at different options. We've been evaluating different options for, you know, are we going to, wet water recharge it? Or in the past, we've bought paper water. And if we wet water, are we going to do, you know, we have our MZ1 obligation, but we have, you know, MZ3 issues to consider too. And so, you know, looking to see if there's any other wet water out there available for purchase.
Only reason I'm asking is I know IUA has a flood of water right now available.
Of the tier one. Yeah, right.
So if the water's available, we should find some place to put it and meet that obligation.
We plan on addressing this very soon, but it, you know, it's such a, if it was a 30,000 acre foot number like in past years, we'd be, you know, we'd be jumping on it a lot faster.
I'm
but a thousand is
I'm just sensitive to Curo because we're usually the ones that had it, so you want water in the ground to take care of it.
Yeah, we plan to address that very soon in the next couple months.
Danny, is Acuro the, if you go back to that last slide, please, is Acuro the sum of the new obligation plus a prior?
The Acuro is the sum of all previous obligations, not including the new one of 734. Okay. And at this particular year, by all previous, I just mean last year's. You know, it, I think in the past it could have been several years still piling up, but right now it's just last year's.
Okay. So the basin has a collective outstanding replenishment obligation of, you know, roughly 1,800 and some acre feet.
Yeah, okay. Correct.
How much of that is appropriative pool and how much of that is non-ag pool?
I'd have to look in the assessment package, pull the numbers out. I don't have my old assessment package here with me.
Okay.
But for the current year, I can tell you. So let me get to the right page.
Is there a number that we, you know, all of a sudden do the wet water? Do we have a number out there that once we reach this number, we're...
No set rule for it. No. Which, although we do have the MZ1 obligation to always keep in mind.
What page is it on, Danny, on the package?
Page 9A. Well, it's in several places, but I'm looking at page 9A, mm-hmm. and it kind of summarizes it there. So out of the current year of 734, 40 acre feet of it's non-ag,
okay.
and the rest of it's appropriate. And that's, I mean, that's generally the trend. It's mostly appropriate
pool. And my only comment on the rate is if we move forward with wet water recharge, that's an appropriate rate. If we end up meeting that with transfers within the basin, it would seem that we would, you know, adjust the rate to only include the tier one component because there would not be any IUA surcharge and there would not be any Orange County Water District well in charge.
You mean in terms of like truing up the dollar, the cost?
We're
always truing that up.
Because you've gone out before and said we've got an unmet obligation, we'll buy the water for 608 and parties that sell it. We just would suggest that if we do that, if we can't bring wet water in, then we just would Water Master go out and offer it at, you know, the actual tier one rate versus those other charge components, which are non-existent.
Correct.
When we've done the paper water purchases like that to offset replenishment, we have just charged the straight tier one without the surcharges. And then we've gone back through this process. Like this year, we're giving back the $330 plus $12. We've gone back through that process the following year and given back all the surcharges. We have to collect it because we have to have it, you know, case, so we have it when we need it. But we always true it up. We always true it up with the interest and with the actuals of the dollars that were spent. Yeah.
On last year's, the question was of the 1,097, approximately 39 acre feet of that was non-ag pool and the rest was appropriative.
Okay, so continuing with the financials. The recharge debt payment that we always have in there, which is the CBFIP money, that's $456,000, and that's allocated based on percentage of operating safe yield as usual. And then also new this year, we have the recharge improvement projects, which is a new column, a new category we added in there, and this was approved at the time of the budget, and that's for the Turner, San Sylvain, and CB20 projects, and that's $483,000 in there, allocated based on percent of operating safe yield. And then just as a reminder, also coming to you in November is year five of the appropriative pool payment of the paragraph 31, the non-ag water, and year five is the final payment of that. Okay, this this whole slide right here is dedicated to the Pomona credit. If you'll recall, we had some discussions on this a few months ago, but the appropriators used to pay for the Pomona credit, and it's $66,000, $66,667, and that's annually every year through 2030. And since Pomona pays approximately 20% of that, of their own amount, the net to them is that 53,000 number. So appropriators used to pay that. Then in piece two, Three Valleys Municipal Water District took over the payment of that. But then as of last year, they discontinued that payment, and it's back on the appropriators as of fiscal year 12-13. So when Three Valleys notified us of that last year, it was too late, and the assessment package was already done, yet we still owed Pomona the payment last year. So what ended up going through the process and what the board ended up approving in February was funding the payment from existing Water Master cash reserves last year, but then double assessing this year to make up for it. So so that payment was made to the city of Pomona. The $53,000 was made to them back in March of 2013. So you'll note on the assessment package on page 1A that there's 2 years of assessments of Pomona credit. There's one in the column called Pomona credit, and then that second year is in the column called other adjustments. And the correction that I said, there's a corrected sheet out there today. What it was the other adjustments column on the Pomona line. It had their credit listed in there of the $53,000. But since they got that credit back in March, it shouldn't have been there. So that's been corrected, and they're zeroed out. And it's just that one cell that's affected. And then, of course, the totals that result as a result of that cell, the totals on the bottom and side. And I adjusted the footnote, too, to indicate that Pomona had already been paid that credit back in March. Did you have a question, Justin?
A quick question. When you say Three Valleys elected to discontinue payment effective fiscal year 2012-13, that's assessment package fiscal year 2012-13 for
right.
Production year 2011-12.
Right.
That's correct. Right?
Yeah, correct. And this is what that page toward the front of the assessment package looks like. And we've already gone over this, but the based on the productions, the rate was $9.76 for admin and $30.63 for OBMP. Which, if you compare it based on what we had estimated back at budget time, it was $9.32 and $28.79. So it's a little higher. Of course, we had a budget amendment in there that contributed to that, and also the production ended up being a little bit lower than I had estimated or projected back then. And the staff recommendation for today is that we recommend that the pools recommend to the advisory committee to approve the fiscal year 2013-2014 assessment package as presented. Are there any further questions?
Questions for Danny? Thanks, Danny. Okay, with that, you heard staff's recommendation. If there are any other questions? We have a motion to recommend approval by the advisory committee.
We'd move staff recommendation.
A motion?
I'll second that.
A second. Any further discussion? Anyone opposed? Hearing none? That passes unanimously. Okay, we'll move on to business item 2B, levying replenishment and administrative assessments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And by the way, I wanted to thank Danny for all the work she puts into the assessment package, and also those that were able to attend the workshop and give us very constructive input. It is a lot of moving parts in there, and Danny always does a great job, and also we really appreciate those that reviewed and helped. Item 2B is relates to the actual resolution that gives Water Master the authority to levy the assessment package as has been approved. This is the practice of Water Master has been to bring this resolution as a separate item, and we're looking the same as with the package. We're looking for the appropriative pool to recommend to the advisory committee to adopt the resolution. And that's resolution 13-07.
Okay. Any questions for Peter? Do I have a motion in that regard?
We'll make that motion.
Motion from Montavista.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Anyone opposed? Anyone? Unanimously. That will move on to business item 2C, which is the physical solution transfer rate substitution. I think it is recommended by Mr. Kavunis. We'll take a few minutes, go into closed session, so that I can update the rest of the pool on the discussions that we had, and then we'll come out and be prepared to make a recommendation.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, we'll come out of our closed session. We don't have any reportable action, but I believe the pool is prepared to make a recommendation on this item. If I am correct, then I would entertain a motion that the appropriate pool recommend the advisory committee to approve the proposed fiscal year 2013-14 substitute physical solution transfer rate and approve Watermaster Legal Counsel's filing a motion for court approval of the same.
I'll move.
A motion.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Anyone opposed? Hearing none. That's a question. Approved unanimously.
Just one question on the motion. The stipulation that we have, the draft that's in the packet, would have your counsel sign the stipulation for that rate. Is that included in the action?
And authorize the pool's legal counsel to sign the agreement on behalf of the pool. Any opposition to the amended motion? All right, we'll move on to item three, which is reports and updates. A is the legal counsel report.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Three brief updates this morning. The first is on the Watermaster 2013 amendment to the 2010 Recharge Master Plan update motion. On November 4th, Watermaster and IUA jointly filed their motion seeking the court's approval of the 2013 amendment, and that is set for hearing on December 13th at 1:30 p.m. The deadline for oppositions to that motion is next Monday, the 18th. At this point, I'm not sure whether there will be any oppositions. Conceivably, the City of Fontana may oppose the motion based on its concerns in its separate motion regarding Section 5. Next item is the Fontana motion related to Section 5. As I reported last month, Fontana at the end of September filed a motion with the court requesting that Section 5 of the Recharge Master Plan update amendment be revised to include language regarding the allocation of stormwater recharge credits. And as I mentioned in October, we had the date moved from the original October 25th hearing date to that same December 13th hearing date. And like Watermaster's motion, oppositions to that motion are due next Monday. And finally, I fear I sound like a broken record on the CDA item, but the report is the same as last month. In September, the Regional Water Quality Control Board had asked for some additional information related to Watermaster's modeling of hydraulic control in the Chino Creek wellfield. That information had been given to them by the end of September. We'd hoped that we would have been here last month and this month with an item for action related to the CDA request. However, we don't yet have closure with the regional board. Hope to have that done in time for the December meetings.
I have a question. Are they asking for the raw data, or are they asking for a model simulation, or what?
I can't. Okay. I don't. Mark Wildermuth would know the answer better than I would.
Very good.
I don't want to practice hydrogeology without a license.
So noted.
Okay. Any questions for legal counsel? Thank you, Brad. We'll move on to 3B, which is the CFO report.
Mr. Chairman, we don't have a CFO. That's the items there as a placeholder in case we do.
Okay, 3C, GM report. We have things there.
Yes, we do. And I'll be as brief as appropriate. The first item is a reminder. We asked last month for the committee to appoint representatives to a subcommittee. We asked that of each of the three pools, and we have representatives, and I really appreciate all three pools responding. Todd Corbin and Van Drew will be representing the appropriative pool. Ken Jeske will be representing the non-ag pool. Pete Hall and Jeff Pearson, the ag pool. The meetings of this committee will be open to everyone, of course. We only ask for representatives to facilitate scheduling. We've established a meeting schedule, which will be on the Thursdays of the advisory committee, and it will be immediately following the advisory committee. I recognize that some months this is going to be a little bit of a tight crunch, for example, next week and also in December, because we have the advisory committee stacked with the board meeting on the same day. And we'll just be flexible and make do with what we have. I think having the committee meet is better than not having it at all, so it'll be a plus either way. The first meeting will be next week, and we'll have on the agenda, we'll talk about perhaps a standardized project reporting format that works for the pools to understand the project scope, the project purpose, necessity, and status, both on financing and schedule. Any questions on this? Okay. On the safe yield recalculation process, we have continued to have some discussions with individual pool parties as well as with the chairman of the pool. And this item is on your confidential session for the pool to share some of those conversations and coordinate its action. So I have nothing else to report on that. I will tell you, this item will be a standing reporting item on the pools as well as the monthly board meetings. So we stay focused on it. On the Wineville proof of concept, last month the committee met and asked for an update again this month. And would like to pass on a report from IUA that we are approximately halfway through the 60-day testing phase of the project. The team has been successful at gathering data and determining the potential performance of the basin, and the remaining 30 days will be beneficial to help further develop each of these cells' infiltration rates. When we have storms, they impact the testing, and we've had two of them in October, on October 10th and the 28th. IUA approved a change order for the to repair the damages from the first storm. The damages from the second storm, they elected to do them with their own forces instead of paying the contractor. And each one took about 3 to 5 days of downtime, so they lost about 2 weeks of testing because of the storms. The testing restarted on November 4th and going well, and at this point anticipating about 3 weeks of testing before it's completed. So that's the status. The data is being collected regularly. Watermaster has asked to receive the data and analyze it in parallel with IUA, and we'll be able to give your own opinion in addition to IUA. Item 4. Pool and board representation. This is a housekeeping item for Watermaster. We kind of going through our records. We have some spotty records in terms of who is here representing parties and who is here representing the board. And so we're looking to create and improve our records, and we'll be asking parties through some kind of an annual process to submit to us who are their designated representatives and on the appropriative committee and the non-ag committee, as well as on the board. And so we'll be sending out routine correspondence, hoping to get back some correspondence on some letterhead, whether it's motions from minutes or whether it's a brief letter saying here's who should be there and here's who should be voting. And along the same vein, I'd like to repeat a request to please sign in when you attend all of our meetings, because that's the record that we use to create minutes, attendance, and so on. So. And finally, an item, the last item on my report, is that the according to the board rotation schedule, the next 2 years, board seat is to be filled by an elected a person appointed by the miners, who would be elected among the miners. And to that effect, we will be sending a letter to each of the miners. There's 13 minor parties including the city of Fontana. They each have a volume vote. That's part of the volume vote that you see every January. And they will be, we'll be working with the chairman of the pool to make sure that the election meets everybody's needs. We have tentatively scheduled that for December, and unless we hear otherwise, we'll continue to do that. So, any questions on that?
Just a quick comment on item four. I would also mention that you'd want to know not only the primary delegate, but also the alternate as well.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
December pool meeting?
December pool meeting, yes. The election for the minors will be a business item on the December pool meeting. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Any questions for Peter? All right. Your item four, you have some information. You have cash disbursements for October of 2013. Are there any pool member comments this time? Hearing none, is there any other business? Seeing none, we will take a brief recess and then move into confidential session to discuss a couple of items.
Recording.
So we come out of a confidential session and there's no reportable action. You have future meetings on the schedule. Just note that there are some changes and as to time and day of meetings. And with that, if there's nothing else, we adjourn. Okay.